Hello, this is the Daily Tech, and Terry Shane's more tech news with you. It's going to be really interesting, so do stick around, and you hopefully will enjoy it. Also, all the articles I do talk about will be linked in the description if you want to go and read them yourself. Anyway, yes, let's get right into it. Firstly, article by TechRadar. The OnePlus Nord N100 is the cheapest OnePlus phone in a long while. So, of course, and there's the OnePlus N10 5G as well. So yesterday, OnePlus released their new budget device range in the Nord series. So of course you have the OnePlus Nord, which is the higher end of the budget, if that makes sense. And then you got these phones, which I believe are the lower end of the budget. So pretty much the OnePlus Nord Lite. So of course we were expecting some sort of OnePlus Nord Lite for quite a while now, a few months. Probably ever since we saw the OnePlus Nord, to be honest. And now we've got two new affordable phones unveiled by OnePlus, which obviously the N10 5G and the N100 are both part of the Nord series. And they're going to hit some new price points to entice new buyers. And they bring some pretty impressive specs considering the cost. The N10 5G has a display and camera that sound great. It does sound great for the cost apparently, because now we hear displays and cameras. But I think it means that it looks good for its price. Anyway, and then the M100 sounds like a veritable battery beast. So firstly, the Nord N10 5G. So of the new duo, the OnePlus Nord N10 5G is perhaps the most closely related to the Nord. It has quite a few impressive features for its price. So it will be it's available for 329 British potatoes, which is roughly $430 US and $600 Australian dollars. And of course, pricing will probably change a little when it's got a global release that we are expecting. So it's got a 6.49-inch display with a amazingly impressive, actually, 90Hz refresh rate. Of course, for the price of these phones, it's still amazing to me. For the fact that you can get a £1,000 Apple phone, still get 60Hz, and now we're still getting 90Hz on these budget phones. And a full HD Plus resolution, that's pretty much 1080p, I believe, which is really good for that price point. However, this chipset used is a lower-powered 690, which is a good processor for the price. That's nothing to be concerned about. It's still powerful, it will do your day-to-day tasks. It just isn't the most powerful thing out there, but then again, most people don't really take advantage of that anyway. And it's also paired with 6GB of RAM, which is always nice to see, and 128GB of storage, so you're not going to run out anytime soon, I'd say. I don't really know, I don't download much. So the battery is 4300mAh batteries, which is smaller than the M100, which we'll see in a moment. But the 30W charging should allow you to charge the battery really quickly as well, which is always nice to see. I like fast charging. There's also 5G compatibility, as you'll probably guess from the 5G name. Though OnePlus has confirmed that it's widely used sub-6 band, not the millimeter wave that's used for hyperspeeds in some part of the world. But it's still going to be much faster than 4G. And when it comes to the camera, there's a 64MP main snapper joined by an ultra-wide macro and monochrome extras. Though the resolutions of the sensors haven't been detailed though. Also, there's a 16MP front-facing camera. And there's been no interesting additional features either. But all around, for that price point, it's really good. You're getting 5G, you're getting a nice 90Hz refresh rate. Of course, you've got four sensors, or four cameras, what was it? Yeah. And got Touch ID and all that stuff. And all around, the chin's a bit thicker than most phones, like the S8 kind of chin. But apart from that, the bezels are decently thin. And again, you're paying £329. Of course, the bezels on the... Actually, maybe this was more like the S8 and that was like the S9. Anyway, so this bezel, a bit chin, a bit bigger on the Nord N100. But all around looks about the same, apart from, of course, the camera stuff. But we'll get into that now. So then there's the OnePlus Nord N100, a handset seemingly destined for the roundup of best cheap phones. It has a low price of £179 British pounds, which is crazily cheap in the UK, which converts to about $230 US, which is about $330 Australian dollars, and it is the cheapest phone OnePlus has put out in a long time. So the Nord N100 has a 6.52-inch screen. The resolution and refresh rate haven't been detailed, but we could probably guess 720p HD and 60Hz refresh rate, which would obviously make sense. It's broken up by a punch hole even, cut out on the top left. I called it a hole punch, maybe that's not right. The chipset in here is the 460, which isn't great in processing power. It's not going to be incredible, but it's still quite good for the price point, and you'll be able to do most stuff with it. There's also 4GB of RAM and 64GB of storage, and I, as you would expect, no 5G. Perhaps the biggest selling point here is what we've talked about before, the 5000mAh battery, which is massive for the price, depending on the phone's display specs. It could power the handset for 2 whole days. And the 18W is okay. These specs sound a lot like the Moto G8 Power Lite, which has a similar price too. Would be nice to see 30W charging, especially with that size of a battery. But it's a really budget phone, what you'd expect. This is for people who don't need too much processing power, but don't want to charge it all the time. There's also a 30MP main camera, joined by a bokeh and macro camera on the rear. And like the selfie camera, have unspecified resolutions. What does it say? I assume it's probably like an 8MP or something like that. We need to know a lot more about these phones so we can get full opinions on them. But so far, by the looks of things, all around they are quite good. I think the more popular, I'm not sure, because I mean, depending on what the market is for the budget, the N100 could be quite good. However, I think the N10 5G is definitely going to be quite popular among the people who want 5G and 90Hz refresh rate, just for those reasons. I think that will definitely be a major selling point of this device. Of course, I don't think any of them have wireless charging, but you'd expect that. But maybe they do. I don't think we know, but I'd assume not. It looks like they're both plastic. So yeah. Really interesting phones, very fitting in phones, especially for what's going on right now. People don't spend loads on phones. And I really think the N10 5G pretty much is as good as an iPhone. Okay, well, this is a bit not right for the fact the iPhone 12 has more features, but I mean, for the price of like 30% of what the iPhone 12 is, you're getting a lot of what the iPhone 12 is. I think that's a good-ish comparison. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a bit hard to compare things like that. Next up, some really interesting display technology that we've seen. So Samsung and Stanford Uni create a 10,000 ppi OLED display, so pixels per inch, which is crazy. For the fact that we talk about 336 or something like that has been really good. Can you imagine 10,000? So, in not too distant future, tech enthusiasts may be keenly discussing the merits of devices with the Metaphotonic OLED displays. So, this is a new kind of OLED display which branched from research into ultra-thin solar panels. The key attraction of the new Metaphotonic OLED displays is that they're very high pixel densities, up to 10,000 ppi, as well as being brighter and offering better color accuracy than current OLED technology. So to create the ultra-thin and efficient solar panels, Stanford University materials scientist Mark Rongersma decided to try and take advantage of the fact that on a nanoscale, light can flow around objects like water. So the theory has worked really well in solar panel design, and thanks to some lateral thinking by a Stanford visiting scientist from the Samsung Advanced Institute of Technology. It looks like the nanoscale tech will impact OLED display market. So having all the pixels of the same height makes the manufacturing process simpler and aids large scale as well as micro scale fabrication. So in the test that the Ali lab made Metaphotonic OLED displays, Brongzerman and SAIT researchers have created pixels for higher color purity and twofold increase in luminance efficiency compared to TV OLED tech color filtered white OLEDs. So Samsung is currently busying itself creating a full size display using this nanoscale tech. So this displays are expected to become particularly appealing devices such as HMDs, where the display is situated very close to the eye and high PPI figures are particularly welcome, like in VR. that kind of stuff. And it would work quite well. Obviously, I think this is a bit high for pixel density, but if you get pixel density of, I'm trying to think of something, maybe 1,000, that would still be really good. I'm not sure if we've, I don't know. Next up, Microsoft's latest desperate move to get people to use Edge could and probably will annoy Windows 10, Windows 10 users. So yeah, Microsoft are definitely doing stuff to try and get the Edge browser to work, and I think the Edge browser is quite good. I've used it myself a bit on this older laptop, but on a laptop that's just in the house. Anyway, no, so, and so far it seemed alright. I've only used it for a bit, just for literally like, searching something, but as you generally do for a web browser, I don't think I need to make that clear, to be honest, but oh well, here we are. So, Microsoft doing that thing where you can't delete it easily and all of that stuff, well, I think they've gone to the next level, and it's a bit of a shame that they're doing this, but I think eventually people might catch on to it. I just don't think they're doing it in a great way, but they've really got no other choice. So if you've been using Windows 10 for any amount of time, you'll probably have noticed that Microsoft's at times quite heavily-handed attempts to get you to use its Edge web browser, and with the Windows 10 October 2020 update, which I don't think I even talked about. No, I did. It's getting even more pushy. So if you've downloaded and installed the new Windows 10 October 2020 update, and you have the Edge browser icon in your taskbar, as many people will, as it is added by default, as you would expect, seeing as that's what Microsoft will do, you may start seeing a new pop-up that encourages you to try the new Microsoft Edge. And we don't want that. So it seems that this pop-up shouldn't show if you've got Edge already open. But there are reports that it's behaving erratically, and it may bug you to use Edge, even when you're using it, which is interesting, to say the least. So if Microsoft already added Edge adverts to the start menu, Windows search, and on the web, its attempt to get people to use a browser can come across as a bit desperate, as it does seem. It's literally telling you to use it, like the pop-ups, it's just, yeah. So it's a shame Microsoft feels the need to strong-arm people into using Edge. The new version, which is based on the same Chromium engine that powers Google's all-concurrent Chrome browser, which is obviously a really good browser. I use Firefox though, so there we are. It's a genuine improvement over the original Edge, and the original Edge wasn't great, especially by today's standards. Yet Microsoft is struggling to get people to use it, I think because of people are already just used to using Chrome, why would you switch, kind of thing. So while the company hopes these pop-ups extolling the virtues of Edge will get people to give it a try, not many people, and personally I wouldn't either, be keen on that approach. Luckily I'm using macOS, so yeah. So if you've decided to use a different web browser, they should just be like, oh, well, that's another user gone, maybe one day. Instead of just like, well, we're just going to annoy you until you do, kind of thing. And I don't think this is going to be the end of it. They'll probably do something else. It's Microsoft, but yeah. Let's hope they don't, and let's hope they just kind of give up on it. But it's not give up on it. Like, people do use it, and it's getting more popular, but still. Next up, HTC's, this is a bit of an older article. I forgot to talk about it. So HTC's Shervan. I'm not saying these things right, just to be clear. If I'm saying a name wrong, I just it's given the Accenture VR Lifetime Achievement Award by AIXR. So the annual VR awards, created by the Academy of International Extended Reality, holds its event every November, highlighting the best companies, products, and those working with the XR industry. One of its main awards is the Accenture VR Lifetime Achievement Award, which HTC founder and CEO has been given this year. So HTC has been involved with the virtual reality industry for many years, memorably with the HTC Vive. So while still involved with the consumer section via the Vive Cosmos over the years, the company has shifted more to enterprise use cases for hardware such as the Vive Focus Plus and Vive Pro I, to fostering new startups for its VIVEX accelerator. So this is what she said. I am honored to receive this award and dedicate it to all of our teams and partners who dare to dream and are working hard to make the vision happen. It's an exciting time to be in the industry. We're still in the age of exploration for VR, discovering new use cases every day. It's been fantastic to see so many people, companies, schools, museums, and more to recognize the potential for VR and utilize it for collaboration, training, education, healthcare, art, and culture, and even global sustainability. VR truly holds the key to a better world, and I think that's kind of true. So recently, HTC Vive launched the Vive XR Suite. It's designed to help businesses collaborate virtually, comprised of Vive Sync, Vive Sessions, Vive Campus, Vive Social, and Vive View. Probably should have stopped trying to say them all at once. And Vive View Museum, all of their own unique features. Whilst its distribution platform, Viveport, has been an important even part of recent festivals such as Venice VR Expanded and LFF Expanded. So yeah, this is the second year for which the award was previously by John Carmack. All the other award winnings will be announced during the main event on the 12th of November, held virtually for the first time inside VR Chat, which is quite interesting. Which is, I think that's quite cool. VR Chat's definitely a good place to do it, I think. Right, well, next up. This is, oh, I haven't been saying who the buyer. I really should be doing this, really. I just think it's good to do. So, the Samsung display one was by Hexus. Microsoft one was by TechRadar. The one that we just read was by VR Focus. And this one's by 925 Google. So, Googlifier, which is an interesting thing. Make sideloading Google apps onto Huawei devices relatively simple. So if you do have a Huawei device and you don't have the Google apps, there is a way to get it. It will require a bit of effort, but not too much, as it says there. So for some, living a Google-free life is an enticing one. For others, it's almost impossible depending on what you do. So Huawei devices released after the trade bans kicked and now sold sans Google apps. But thanks to an app called Googlifier, it's even easier to install those missing services. So you are still better off for relying on Huawei's HMS Core and the App Gallery for a safer experience that is free from issues, although a more substantial lack of true access to many of your favorite apps. This is effectively an official way of installing MGS on devices that do not ship with Google Apps pre-installed. As it might prove to be a solid stopgap, or a way of getting at least some of your favourite software on a device you may have lying around, because there are other issues to contend with. And we would not recommend this as a solution for most people. At least this method simplifies the process and does make it easier for those not confident to use other methods though. So of course, for warnings out of the way, Googlifier comes from Bender 007, or underscore 007, over on the XDA Performance forums, who chaired their work on the app over there. It's an APK that effectively utilises the LZ Play method we saw shortly after the Mate 30 Pro launched over a year ago. This new process walks you through a step-by-step process to get GMS installed on a device running EMUI. So they have tried Google, so 95 Google have tested this on devices run like the Huawei P40 Pro and the MatePad Pro 5G. It takes around 10 to 15 minutes to work with a little time troubleshooting. Unfortunately, it does not work on the Mate 40 Pro running EMUI 11, but that's to be expected. It's a new device with new stuff, but I think it might work. So yeah, if you want to, then do give it a try, but don't expect things to work. It could be a bit buggy, all of that stuff. So yeah, just try at your own risk. I guess it's just one of those. Next up is quite a interesting one. Pause the video quickly. It's paused, I think. Possibly. So it's going to be a long day. So cursing Amazon delivery man slips twice on porch as he leaves two packages. So the Amazon delivery man slipped and fell twice on So delivery guy was stopping at a home to drop off two packages when his repeated pratfalls were captured on surveillance video on a portrait of a US home. Dated October 23rd, posted to World Star Hip Hop, which is just funny. Of course, I feel bad for the person. That's nothing to be, to get wrong. Obviously, you're gonna feel bad for this. You feel bad for the guy. He slipped, fell. Not nice. So, with a prying van parked in the street, the hooded and masked man jogs up to the driveway and steps on the concrete walkway leading to the porch. The moment it touches the pavement, his right foot streaks out, sending him to his hands and knees. Can't imagine it was very nice. He gets up, mounts the becomes endorsed porch and declares himself hurt. So the delivery man then staggers to the ground and lies back on his back, writhing and moaning in pain, which he probably was in pain then. And then he said, "I need better shoes," which is, I think, a very good thing to, yeah. A voice apparently coming from inside the home then asks after him. So then, obviously, I think he's alright, but yeah, I guess he's alright, I assume. Hopefully he is alright. So, yeah, I guess that's just a bit sad for him. Hopefully that stuff wasn't broken, but possible. But anyway, yeah. Not great for him. Next up, article was by Mail on Daily Mail. Next up, notebook check. Xiaomi is slated to launch the Redmi K30S Extreme Commemorative Edition in China. Executive Li Jun has reportedly announced that the Redmi K30S will debut in China tomorrow, which is October, today then. This brand's parent company, Xiaomi, is still observing its 10-year anniversary. It's also been known as the Commemorative Edition. However, it seems customers in other markets will not miss out on this phone. So, Jun has also conceded that this new phone is also known as the Xiaomi Mi 10T on the global market, thus confirming several leaks that is indeed the case. So, therefore, it seems that the K30S will make a departure from the round camera hump motif from the rest of the series for the first time. So, Mi fans in China can expect a 6.67-inch display for 144Hz refresh rate, even if it is LCD. It may have 12GB of RAM, options paired with the Snapdragon 865, which is quite powerful. Despite the flagship specs, however, it's rumored to go for an attractive price. So, currently it's thought to start around 2,499 yuan, which is US 372 by contrast, which is obviously quite cheap. By contrast, the Mi 10T started at 499 euros, which is 590 US dollars. The Xiaomi CEO is also noted to be releasing during China's annual 11.11 sales event, which may indeed set the promise for a good price for the commemorative edition in stone. Won't care for most people, I don't think. Many people might care about this, but someone might, so there we are. Finally, article by PC Gamer. AMD to acquire custom chip manufacturer Exilinx for a deal worth $35 billion US dollars, which is, I mean, don't get us wrong. I think I can say this quite confidently. A bit expensive, slightly. I don't know. AMD will soon acquire Exilinx. Am I even saying that right? Exilinx, a chip manufacturer that specializes in custom chips, such as FPGAs, which is field programmable gate arrays, and SoCs, which is system on chips. The deal announced today will see Ryzen, Radeon, and EPX, chipmaker I haven't heard of that one before, don't know, maybe it's just me, spending $35 billion US dollars to acquire the computing company with a view to expanding AMD's data center and custom silicon portfolio. For $35 billion price tag, Exilinx is valued close to what Nvidia paid for ARM, a grand sum of $40 billion. Nvidia also spent $6.9 billion last year on data center networking company Mellanox, which is sure to be a factor in AMD's decision to purchase Exilinx. I'm not saying it right. Exilinx, something like that. Adult will also allow AMD freedom to deliver a high-performance computing and data center environment with its custom chips. So they said our acquisition of Xilinx marks the next leg in our journey to establish AMD as the industry's high-performance computing leader and partner choice for the largest and most important technology companies in the world, said AMD President and CEO Dr. Lisa Su. This is truly compelling combination that will create significant value for all stakeholders, including AMD and Xilinx shareholders, who benefit from future growth and upside potential of the combined company. So, the Xilinx team is one of the strongest in the industry, and we're thrilled to welcome them to the AMD family, as he continues, by combining our world-class engineering teams and deep domain expertise, we'll create an industry leader with the vision, talent, and scale to define the future of high-performance computing. So AMD's focus for Xilinx will be on data center technologies, but it also briefly mentions gamings. But I wouldn't get your hopes up for any changes, but it is possible it could get a bit more efficient. I'm not sure kind of the way it works. But yeah, it's cool to see they're buying more. They definitely got a budget and a half. But yeah, start with very budget stuff, end with slightly not so budget stuff. I mean, how many of those OnePlus N10 like 5Gs could you buy before? A few? Yeah, probably a few. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, do click the subscribe and bell notification button. If you're on YouTube, if you're on anything like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, something like that, click the follow or heart button. It should be something like that. That way you'll be able to see all the latest tech news by me, which is obviously daily. Anyways, have a good day.